everyone. Welcome again to another episode of The Legal Geeks. My name is Joshua Gilliland. With me, as always,
Jessica Meterson.
Thank you all for tuning in today. Our theme today is to talk about fictional lawyers on TV and in the movies. And this is a theme that Jessica has written brilliantly about, and we want to get her views on those fictional lawyers. So, Jessica, I'll ask a compound question of who's your favorite TV or fictional lawyer and why?
I would have to say that while I've enjoyed a lot of the legal shows, even some of the more far-fetched ones like Ally McBeal, that I think was probably the first legal show that I really got into, maybe L.A. Law. But my favorite TV lawyer, or my favorite lawyer is actually a TV one. It's Alicia Florrick on The Good Wife. I find, I guess I'm probably biased because I'm also the working mother, and so I feel they at least acknowledge and identify a little bit without crazy, you know, happenstance. They acknowledge the difficulties of balancing work and dealing with the children. And she also isn't one of these TV lawyers that's into a lot of theatrics and showing up in crazy costumes like, I guess, those guys on Franklin and Bash do. I haven't watched that show, but I've seen trailers where they're in court doing outrageous things that you would never actually see a real lawyer do. So I appreciate the fact that she's just good, steady, she's smart, she's good with the clients. She's good with her partners, who can sometimes be a bit unreasonable. She deals with all the different competing interests on her time. And so I just find her very likable, and I can at least relate to her, even though, again, her life as a TV lawyer is very different from my life as a regular lawyer.
Exactly. Well, I think anyone showing up in like a suit of armor or a gladiator outfit, it's not proper courtroom attire, you know, pursuant to any rules of court or rules of professional responsibility. You know, they'd be held in contempt for anyone doing anything like that. Mm-hmm. You know, there are stories here in the local jurisdiction in which I live of, you know, people getting in trouble because they have a business casual office and they showed up for a case management conference in a polo shirt, and like, that's not okay. That's why you have the spare suit on your office wall, because if you have a business casual office, if your clients get nervous because, say, they're, some of the technology ones don't like guys in suits showing up, it makes them uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. So they want to see people in polo shirts and Dockers because that's less intimidating. But when you need to cowboy up and go to court, you put on the lawyer outfit, which is a suit, and you're going to have a tie. And, you know, because it's a traditional profession. You don't want, you know, the doctor in clown shoes. You don't want the fireman in shorts. You want him in the full turnout gear ready to go, and the same said for attorneys. So the fictional attorneys who don't play well, you know, because of that, I have a problem with. Now, what do you think's like the most unrealistic TV show or movie out there?
Oh, there are so many of them, of course. And again, some of them, like Franklin and Bash, are just crazy. Ally McBeal, obviously, with the singing bathrooms, or the singing in the bathrooms, and the dancing baby is crazy.
Co-ed bathroom.
I don't mind the co-ed bathroom so much. And I love the little remote control that, what's his name, had? I forget, the little guy. But I'd have to say one that always drove me nuts was The Practice, just because I was actually in law school during part of the time that The Practice was on, and I was taking my professional responsibility class, which is the ethics class, and everything that Bobby did on The Practice was the exact opposite of what an ethical and responsible attorney should do, and that just drove me nuts.
Agreed. There are problems with everything that you just outlined. Massive HR problems, with, you know, abounding. a whole bunch of ways to get disbarred in all those fictional law firms for those sorts of things. Of like, you know, how to destroy your career. Just take out the bar card and light it on fire. And we went to law school at the same time, so I enjoyed Ally McBeal prior to going to law school. Mm-hmm. After law school started, I no longer liked it. And I had a similar feeling for The Practice, just because it didn't reflect reality in any sizable way. Now, if we could break the fourth wall here, if it was possible to submit your resume to any fictional law firm, what one would it be?
Well, I always thought it'd be fun to work for Wolfram and Hart, the law firm on Angel, just because I thought, you know, what a brilliant depiction of law firms. Although, to be fair, in real life, not all senior partners are actually demons, and not all clients are evil, soul-sucking characters who want to, like, eat babies and things like that. But really, if I had to submit my resume to any fictional TV show, and I'll do so right now if any of them want to hire me as a TV lawyer, it would have to be The Good Wife. I think Lockhart and Gardner, again, not perfect, but they do somewhat represent litigation, assuming that you only have to spend about 5 days between getting the case and actually going to trial. But at least some of the other dynamics and some of the pressure on associates and the pressures on the partners, I find realistic. They also have the coolest investigator in the whole world in Kalinda. I love Kalinda, so I think she would be an awesome investigator to work with. What about you?
Oh, I don't know. You know, it would be neat to actually, you know, have like the Matlock or Perry Mason type practice, you know, because I could pull that off. I really do think that that'd be a lot of fun, because that's like the traditional old school.
That's true.
Let's go do this the old-fashioned way. And I think that could be kind of exciting to actually, you know, feel like you're actually representing somebody's rights who have it, or to, you know, do the you know, like Artemis Finch, you know, type of thing, and then actually really go, you know, old school with that. But let's talk about lawyers in real life, because there's no TV show out there that shows the wonders, the magic, and the splendor of document reveal. Why don't you tell us about that joyous experience for no one who really practices law?
Well, it is funny because, Josh, you and I both know e-discovery, electronic discovery, which has, I guess there could be a debate over whether it's made the whole discovery process easier or harder, probably harder. But yes, one of the big parts of any big firm practice, I can't speak for criminal lawyers or for, you know, kind of small town lawyers, but for those who practice in a bigger firm dealing with business litigation, patent litigation, that kind of thing, a major part of the actual litigation is dealing with documents. You need to figure out what documents you're going to get from the other side, and you have to review those, looking for those documents that will support your case. You need to go and collect documents from your client, which in today's age can involve collections from all over the world and all the associated headaches and procedural and legal issues that are associated with that. And you have to pull in those millions of documents, and then you have teams, literally teams of attorneys, contract attorneys, young associates, other types, who will review those documents and sit there for days at their computer just clicking, clicking, clicking. Is the document relevant? Is it for this witness? Is it hot? Is it privileged? And yeah, they can just spend days and months working on this before anything gets even close to a trial or some kind of determination.
And the thing that scares me, you know, having some experience with this, are those who do e-discovery or they're doing doc review, and they're looking at documents for the sake of reviewing documents. They're not looking at them with an objective. You know, lawsuits are about things. You know, it's about the breach of contract. It's about the train crash. It's about, you know, the faulty plumbing on airplanes. You know, there's subject matter involved. And you need to look for that subject matter. Mm-hmm. And so that means if you're the plaintiff, you might be wanting to review for causes of action. You know, here are the elements of a breach of contract, and we're going to go through and we're going to analyze the documents that show contract formation, the, you know, the elements of the contract, and being able to show where it was breached. You know, or if we have, say, breach of fiduciary duty, you know, there could be, like, key timing of emails that would show that breach of fiduciary duty, and realizing the technology out there that you have where you could find those things. And, like, you know, and being able to map that together and see the visual analytics that are out there, I'm like, there's some groovy, cool stuff for being able to practice law today that's, like, just awesome. But you need to know how to use it. You need to know that the tool's there. And no TV show will ever talk about that.
No
TV show shows lawyers working in front of the computer, conducting discovery review, finding the smoking gun memo. Because, as you know, in the TV show, since you only have 5 days before trial, and one of those is a deposition, you know, the review seems to be very quick. In fact, you know, tell us about review in those fictional TV shows.
Yeah, they don't. at most, it will involve flipping through like one box of documents, maybe, and you flip through, and all of a sudden, aha, you have that aha document, the email that says, I did it, I defrauded the company, and you get to run down and show it to the partner and be the hero and cross-examine the witness at trial. When again, in fact, oftentimes in real life, you don't even have that smoking gun, and you certainly never have just one box of documents.
Yeah, I remember reading, and I could be wrong, it was either 1 terabyte or a 2 terabyte hard drive. If you would print the contents as paper, mm-hmm. it would take 50,000 trees, which would mean cutting them down and turning them into paper. And I'm pretty sure you could bury a football stadium with that volume of paper. And so if you could magically find the one smoking gun that says, we sold the defective toys that exploded, you know, like, power to you, because, like, that doesn't happen in real life. You know, nothing's tied up in a bow that nicely when it comes to actual real document review. And it would be neat if one of these TV shows actually showed lawyers working like that, you know, and actually, you know, doing the hard work of, you know, a bunch of people doing doc review. So
they lose all their viewers before the next commercial interruption, but it is a shame that they don't do that.
It'd be the same with, like, showing somebody writing a motion. You know, eating poorly, you know, drinking lots of caffeine, and, you know, and being up all night writing, you know, at the office, not seeing their children. You know, like, it's, you know, people think being a lawyer is glamorous, but, you know, there's the hard, stressful work that goes involved.
That's right. Being a TV lawyer is pretty glamorous. Being a real lawyer, not so glamorous.
There's a lot of hard work that goes into this. So,
that's right.
Exactly. Which, again, I think when I look back at the TV shows and fictional lawyers, I think the one that probably was the closest to showing, like, the stress, the way it looks like, would be, you know, the beginning of Michael Clayton. Because you see the war room and all those associates pouring through boxes.
Yeah.
And while they're the old school partners who still like things printed, a lot of that stuff would be available electronically. And so people would be searching a database to find that information. It'd be a lot less stressful doing it that way. But I thought that was a pretty good capture of what the stress and intensity and, you know, the partners wanting something is the most, you know, true to life when it comes to a fictional, you know, lawyers in practice.
Hopefully other parts of the movie aren't quite as accurate, of course.
Yeah, we don't want to see, you know, the corporate client, the corporate defendant having their attorneys killed.
No.
We frown on that. that generally doesn't play well. There are legal ramifications if somebody's bumped off. So, you know, the rest of the movie, you know, is doesn't exactly reflect reality, we hope. So,
please, I'm already stressed enough being a lawyer. I don't need that extra stress of, yes, am I actually going to make it through the night?
Yeah, that would not be okay. that would, I'd consider a career change at that point. So it's. But with that stated, I think we've talked a lot about the different types of fictional lawyers out there. Any closing thoughts, Jessica?
No, I'm just going to hope that none of my clients ever watch Michael Clayton and get any ideas in their head.
That's a good goal. So we have different types of clients. So, again, thank you everyone for tuning in. We will be back next week with another episode of The Legal Geeks and addressing further adventures in the practice of law.